Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
What in the world is going on south of the border? You sounded like Scooby-Doo there for a second.
That was Gabe. It was a maniacal laugh.
I know. It was a snicker snicker. Little shart and farter happening here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Chewy today. Gabe, Jen, and Will behind the glass holding it down. So I guess I should have seen this coming, but I didn't see it coming. It sort of, for me, came from out of nowhere because I thought the plan for the Chicago Bears was this property in Arlington Heights, right? They purchased 300-plus acres of land that they were going to build the new stadium on. And I know how politics work and leverage works and options work. And I understand that this was sort of a leverage play. And it seemed like that was the direction they were going. Well, plot twist, Indiana has entered the chat. Apparently, Indiana is sort of rolling out the red carpet for the Chicago Bears, saying, hey, if Illinois doesn't want to play ball, if Illinois doesn't want to give you guys the things that you want, we would be happy to welcome you to our beautiful shores. And that is why you're snickering.
Shores?
Beautiful? Beautiful.
Indiana?
That is why you're snickering. Because Hammond, Indiana is the proposed location for the Chicago Bears move. And I thought it was April Fool's. I checked the calendar to be like, this can't be right. Am I being punked here? Gabe, what did you make of the news yesterday about the Chicago Bears potentially moving to Hammond, Indiana?
Indiana's serious. They've kind of fast-tracked this where it's seemingly Illinois has been dragging their feet, and the Bears were just looking for some infrastructure help around the, from my understanding, again, I haven't done the deep dive into it, but around their Arlington Heights location. So Indiana's like, hey, we'll take you. Just bring them back just right over the border, and they're looking at Hammond, Indiana, I guess. I've never visited, but the pictures look lovely. I'm sure everybody's going to be very happy in Hammond, Indiana.
You've never been? It's where the Mascot Hall of Fame is.
Why do you know this much about Hammond?
I've been doing some research about, you know, what to expect. It's a blue collar. Technically, it is in the Chicago metropolitan area. So do you think they would keep the name Chicago Bears?
Oh, of course. I mean, if the San Francisco 49ers can be the San Francisco 49ers despite playing in Santa Clara, like, the Jets and the Giants play in a different state than what they claim to be, too. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to stop making jokes. Like, Hammond's basically Gary, right? The Gary Bears? Good old Gare Bears?
And South Bend is basically Hammond. So why don't we just shove them down to Notre Dame land? You know what I mean? Like, what's crazy to me is I always thought it was so interesting that the practice facility and their offices were all in Lake Forest, Illinois, which is a pretty significant hike down to Soldier Field. But if you think about it, they're only playing at Soldier Field 8 times out of the year, mm-hmm. unless they make the playoffs, which is this year, then you get a couple extra games. So it really wasn't that big of an issue. Logistically, I have always found going to Soldier Field, and you'll remember that I covered the Bears for 2.5 years for CSN Chicago, a horrible logistical nightmare. There's one way in and one way out.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the city of Chicago is pretty dense as it is. No, I don't mean it the way you're taking it. Population density,
sure.
Not intelligence
sure.
dense.
Sure.
All right?
Sure.
And so it was hard always to navigate in the ins and outs of Soldier Field. I sort of thought that going to Arlington Heights would eliminate some of that issue. There's always going to be traffic on game day wherever your stadium is situated. We see that in Green Bay as well. But I sort of thought, oh, this, you know, and it's a suburb at least of Chicago.
Well, technically Hammond is too.
No, it's not.
Technically Hammond is
a suburb of Chicago if your zip code is in Indiana.
Well, I'm just saying. It's just, I don't write the rules. I don't make the rules about media markets, Jen. I just enforce them. That's what I do. Moving to Indiana?
As a strong Packer backer, Gabe Neitzel, I assume that you are
just
enjoying the hell out of
it. It is hilarious that the state of Illinois hasn't stepped up. And look, I understand there's a lot of economical things that go on here. But the lesson here is somebody's always willing to pay if you're not. And if you're willing to lose the team that has made you famous and have, I mean, I guess they're going to have an empty stadium with Soldier Field anyway. And if you're going to let them just leave the state entirely, good on Indiana for stepping up. You know, hey, I guess Illinois, you didn't want the Bears. I'm just disappointed that we didn't step up. Like the Kenosha Bears, I'm just disappointed that we didn't try to put something together, try to put together a package to rival. I mean, can you imagine the Bears in Wisconsin?
The level
how
of outrage.
Much they the... would just
well, first
die
of all, Aaron
driving
Rodgers,
across.
Aaron Rodgers, I own you. I've always owned you. There feels like a little bit of like...
I mean, if they would have gone to Kenosha, would have I tried to, you know, maybe get the street name that the stadium would be on, Aaron Rodgers Way? Yes, of course, we would have tried something like that. We would have had to, right? It just would have had to. But I'm just a little disappointed that Wisconsin, I know we've got our own issues, we've got other things to figure out here in this state, but, you know, just tried to put together a little package, rivaling Indiana, to see if we could, you know, entice the Bears up to Wisconsin.
The great irony, guys, is that the Bears had more success last year, Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, et al., than they've had in, what, a decade, Will? Like, how long are we talking that the Bears have been, like, dying for relevancy, dying to be a franchise that people are taking seriously from a football standpoint? And now you got the going around from a stadium government funding standpoint.
I mean, it's been probably about 30 years. It's the first time in my life that they've been successful and it feels sustainable. The only defense I can come up with it is Indiana is now a championship football state. You want to win a championship, you go to Indiana.
What are the Colts saying about that?
The Indiana Hoosiers, champions.
No, I'm familiar.
They've won half of
with
the
storyline. I'm
football
saying to
championships
you,
in
you would
2026.
Think that it would rub off on the Colts before it would rub off on the Bears, right? Just a proximity.
The Colts
thing.
Have been a more stable organization than the Bears too. So yeah, again, that how many people knew that Hammond, Indiana, was a place before yesterday?
Mm.
When
I've
the legislation.
Through it.
I had
you
no
never
idea. I had no idea that Hammond, Indiana existed until yesterday.
It's probably a good thing for you.
If that's the city the Bears are moving to?
I just, like, the Arlington Heights makes so much sense. There's a train station right there. There's so much open land because there used to be, you know, racetracks. If you're, if you have any vantage point in Arlington Heights and you look out over the racetrack, there's so much room for, you know, development there. And it just seems like at first the Bears were kind of like poking at the state of Illinois, like, hey, we're going to go to Indiana if you don't make a move. And now it feels real. It feels like it's
at the goal
line. Yeah,
because Indiana stepped up and goes, all right, if you guys want, like, we're ready.
Yeah.
They stepped up to the plate. And again, good for Indiana. But also, again, as I start to learn more and more about Hammond yesterday, isn't the city like basically, again, I can relate to this being a kid who grew up on the marsh. Don't they just basically like have swampland and marsh there? Isn't it kind of a hard city to kind of navigate through? So to Jen's point about the whole traffic thing.
Well, that's why it's right by the water. We're going to take boats from Lake Forest to Hammond. That's how the team's going to get there.
Jump on a ferry from Lake Michigan?
Yeah,
take it down to the stadium?
And look, this all to me goes back to the age-old debate about private funding versus public funding. This whole idea that the McCaskies have billions with a B and an S dollars to their name, and that they are still asking for a municipality, whether it's Chicago, whether it's Arlington Heights, or whether it's Hammond, Indiana, to foot the bill for them to build a new stadium.
It seemed like, though, Jen, at Arlington Heights, that they were willing to foot the majority of the bill. Now, they would have needed some help with the infrastructure, you know, getting more roads and things like that, and in Illinois just kind of dragged their feet. And now you've got a sweetheart deal in Indiana that's going to do what every owner loves. Public costs and privatize end up privatizing the profits. And that's what every owner wants to do.
But I think
that's the dream.
But
for every
I think
owner.
Again, if you look at this, and this is just my speculation because I don't have insiders. I'm not talking to people. I'm just like watching it from the outside. I'm guessing it's just a leverage play. I'm guessing the more interested Indiana seems, the more eager they are for the Chicago Bears to relocate to their fine city, the more pressure the McCaskies can put on the governor of Illinois to say, do you really want to lose the Bears to Indiana? Really? Because from a closeness standpoint, from a proximity standpoint, it's really not that far. You know, you mentioned that Arlington Heights is actually further from Soldier Field than this location would be from Soldier Field. But there is something about crossing that state line.
Yes.
There is something that in spirit feels wrong.
Well, again, and that's why it just, to your point, I don't think the Bears actually want to do this. But it feels like they feel like George. If you've ever saw the episode of Seinfeld where George says he's got a place in the Hamptons and he takes his dead fiance's parents out there, even though they know that he's lying. And he's just, yeah, he's telling them all about this amazing house and these horses that he owns. And he just drives to a vacant lot out in the Hamptons and eventually has to come clean on the line. That's what it feels like. It feels like the Bears are George Costanza and eventually they're going to end up in Indiana and go, wait, how did we end up here? How did we get here? Because Illinois, yeah, go ahead. It's a game of chicken, and I'm guessing the Bears are going to end up doing a deal they don't ultimately want to do, which makes it even funnier for me.
They're going to have to change the song. Like, the last line of the Bear Down song is the pride and joy of Illinois. They're going to have to change it. And it rhymes.
Wait,
they're
going
to have
really?
To change the... Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's pride and joy of Illinois, Bear Down, Chicago Bears. They're going to have to change the whole thing because Illinois rhymes with everything else in the song. So they're going to have
joy? Does it rhyme with joy? Is that what it is? The pride and joy of Illinois.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, we might have to think of a new song.
I'm working on rhymes right now.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Best of luck to
Banana,
you.
Banana, fana, faux fana, yeah. It's going to take me a minute.
Got sidetracked pretty quick there.
I mean, if you thought like putting an NFL stadium in like suburbia, Green Bay was weird, imagine it in Hammond, where there's not even suburbs. Like, it's just nothing. It's a blue-collar town with a bunch of factories, and I think there's a Walmart, I've been hearing.
I saw somebody say there's a casino and a golf course right around there or something like that.
It's good enough, I guess.
Words that rhyme with Indiana. Anna, canna, channa, grana. These are not real words, Merriam-Webster. What the hell? Banana, flanna. Bring your flanna. Right? We can make that work.
Hammond population is like 78,000. All right, there you go.
Maybe it's a hidden gem. You never know.
Josh in Heartland, I think he's our songwriter, actually.
Yeah,
says,
he is.
The George Costanza of Indiana.
Nailed it.
That's a good one.
Nailed it.
On that note, we'll take a break. 800-990-3776. If you have thoughts, if you want to chuckle alongside Gabe Neitzel at the thought of the Bears going to Indiana, being forced to move to Indiana because they cannot make nice with the government, with the governor of Illinois, let us know. 800-990-3776. We've got Craig Harmazin. He's coming up shortly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
At Ewald Automotive Group, they believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of lower payments. That's why they're giving you $1,500 over book value for your trade-in. Get into a new vehicle with payments starting at under $250 a month. It's over 1,400 vehicles backed by their low price guarantee at Ewald. $1,500 more for your trade-in. Payments starting at under $250. Life, liberty, and the pursuits of lower payments. Based on Kelly Rubik, fair trade value applies to 2013 or newer model years. You know you can trust Ewald. I've done it for over a decade at this point. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Tune into a new season of Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Bucks versus the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens, reveals the untold story of the 1987 McDonald's Open. That's when the Bucks became the first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world, the Soviet Union. Now, before the Dream Team, this long-forgotten tournament in Milwaukee globalized the game of basketball and opened the doors to international stars coming to the NBA. Find Behind the Bucks on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Have you all been following this story about the monkey in Japan? That sounds like a joke. So a monkey walks into a bar. No.
Very loosely. I'm aware of the story. I'm not like following every move of the monkey who is abandoned by its birth mother.
It's like a Disney movie.
At a zoo in Japan.
In fact, it's Dumbo is what it is. Well, Dumbo wasn't abandoned by his mom, but he did have the separation that occurred. Go watch the movie. Although you don't have to watch the live action movie because who
live action was bad?
Who asked for that? Who was asking for a live-action Dumbo?
They were trying to tap into the nostalgia, and they were trying to go through the old catalog and make everything a live-action version.
I recognize that Bambi's mom was shot.
Sure.
But is there a sadder scene in a Disney movie than when Dumbo is being cradled by his mother's trunk?
Nope.
She's in the thing.
Yeah.
He's out of the thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that will crush you. Anyway, this will crush you too. The monkey has been abandoned by his mom. Apparently, it was a difficult birth. Here. I mean, who amongst us, right? Haven't wanted to, you know, take it out on the youngster. Anyway, and he has not been taken in by the rest of the troop. The rest of the troop is sort of ostracizing him. So the zookeepers in Japan gave him this stuffed orangutan. Mm-hmm. So he's been kind of toting around this stuffed orangutan and cuddling with it. And of course, there are cameras in the, I didn't want to say it, but they're the macaques. That's the...
Sure.
It's the species of monkey. It's a macaque. And anyway, it has taken the world by storm. The internet is going crazy. People are reacting. People feel sorry for the monkey. They're asking why haven't the zookeepers separated him? Because now there's been some violence, Gabe. There's been some violence where this other mom in the troop was sort of smacking him around a little bit. And you know, it's a tough look for the baby monkey.
Yeah, but that's nature, man. This is what happens in nature when you're trying to assimilate here. The zookeepers aren't going to want to, you know, step in unless it's absolutely necessary. Because, again, you have to let nature take its course. That's the point of the zoo, is to try to recreate that the best that they can. And you get to observe it. That's what the zoo is you get to try to learn about these animals that are there. Not go, oh, hey, let's take this monkey and put him. And again, separating him from the entire troop is probably just as traumatizing. What, you're going to put him in his own cage? That's not probably not good for the animal either. So, yeah, I have found it humorous that some people online and on social media want to treat animals like they do baby humans.
Listen, I'm with you in the zoo is trying to simulate the natural habitat, the natural environment, until you remember that the zoo also brings them 3 square meals a day.
Sure.
Right? We're not asking the animals to go out and hunt or gather or, you know, like, so it is a little club med for the animals.
Sure. But like, again, so you're going to separate? So you're going to separate this little baby monkey?
I want to adopt the guy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not a great idea. Do not do that.
We just got a cat, so it feels like really bad timing.
Yeah,
but
I mean, yeah. What are you trying to become the Wildies?
You know what it is, though? It is very much, it's first of all, there's a Truman Show element of it, right? The voyeurism that they have these cameras inside the macaque's living environment, and that everybody is able to watch all of the ongoings and all of the drama. There's a little soap opera element to it. But didn't they poke fun at this within Anchorman? When he had to go cover one of the guys in Anchorman had to go cover the thing at the zoo.
Yeah, the baby panda being born.
This is what it feels a little like. Like, there's this element of, like, we want to watch what is happening. You know, it's why the Nature Channel, or Nova, or whatever it is now, exists. National Geographic. I believe it's a Disney property.
You should probably get that down there as a teammate of in Disney, or cast member, excuse me. That's the language that Disney likes to use. Look, I guess I don't have as much interest. Like, do I feel bad for the monkey that his mother abandoned it? Yes. But I'm assuming, again, I'm taking a huge leap of faith here. It's not the first monkey that the mother abandoned, right? Or mothers have probably been doing this with monkeys for how long? And because it happens in nature, we have no idea. They have to figure out a way to assimilate. We can't just rush in and be a helicopter parent for a monkey.
So you bring up a very good point, and we'll wrap this up quickly before we get to Craig Karmazin. There's people who talk about all of the negativity in the world, all the evil in the world, and how it feels so overwhelming at times and stifling and suffocating. And then the counter argument that is sometimes made is, no, the world has always been like this. You're just aware of it now. To me, it feels like that's what you're sort of saying, right? Like,
sure.
The stuff we're seeing happening to, and he has a name and I can't think of it now. It's like Pippa or Peppa or something like that. The things that are happening there within this monkey troop happen everywhere in nature, happen all the time. Because you're seeing it, you're having strong feelings about it, and you're wanting to change it, and that ain't good.
Because, yes, ultimately that's going to end poorly for everyone involved. Yeah, you can feel bad, you can feel sorry. But ultimately, again, you got to let nature run its course. Be a little patient. I'm willing to bet he's going to become a part of the troop. And then just think about how exciting that's going to be.
Yeah, what are those overcoming adversity?
Sure.
The story arc type of thing. Why are you laughing at us, Will? Will is actively
I'm just hung
laughing.
Up on the live action Dumbo thing because it's long been an idea that I've had to do a live action Polar Express with no animation. I think it's a great movie, great storyline, but some of the effects in the animation freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, yep, mm-hmm, it should. So if that was not your take on Polar Express, I'd have some concerns.
Okay,
thank I'd have
you.
Some concerns.
The monkey's name, by the way, is Punch.
Thank you. And they've been calling him Punchy, you know, because if you add an EY to the end of someone's name, it makes it even more endearing.
Sure.
Right?
Well, you gotta let Punchy stand on his own 2 feet, everybody. All right? That's just, you gotta let nature take its course. And look, maybe it does turn out bad for Punchy. But again, that's part of nature. Got it. That's what we gotta let happen.
Greg Harmonson's going to join the show in a second. I wonder if he has opinions about Punch the Macaque in Japan. We'll ask him after this.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champ.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over there?
Yeah.
Craig Carmison on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Carmazin joining us in studio today here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, Craig, dealer's choice. Where do you want to start? We got the Bears potentially going to Indiana. We got the Bucks trying to make that play-in tournament. We've got the Packers with a 10.5 games as far as the over-under for wins go. Is something else that's interesting to you?
I would start with the Bucks out of that. I would go to the Bears because I do fear that that may make the Packers Wisconsin's team all of a sudden. Right?
Packers are Wisconsin's team.
Well, no, the Bears currently, yes, they're Wisconsin's team, but Milwaukee's team, right? Like, you know, the Bears currently, with their offices in Lake Forest, are closer to Milwaukee than Green Bay. So I think, you know, Milwaukee's pretty evenly divided, Packers and Bears.
I don't think that at all.
Well, let's see. Will's producing. Will, who do you root for?
I'm a Bears fan.
Okay, Gabe?
I'm a Packers fan.
I won't even ask you, Jen. I'll just say that, you know, we have a partnership with the Bears. I root for the Bears, so it seems like we're pretty evenly divided here.
But you also root for
here.
The Rams and the Browns.
Yes, I do.
And I know I'm missing someone here.
Yeah, the Bills.
Bills. Yep. Bills. That's a new partnership.
Yes. So, no. In all seriousness, I don't think it really matters. And I think it would be a further drive for people here and a bunch of people there. And I don't think it'll really happen, even though it seems like it's serious. But if it does, I don't think it matters.
So you're in business. You do dealings and all of that stuff. I guess I read it as a leverage move.
You're in business.
You do dealings and stuff and whatnot. I really don't know exactly what you're doing on a daily basis. But
what
I assume
the
business is involved, all right? And the point is, you know a leverage move when you see one, right?
I'm just a simple caveman. I don't know.
You are the least caveman of the four people currently having this conversation.
You're the most caveman. If Chewy's not here, that makes you the biggest caveman here.
Falls on Jen.
No question.
No, I think you're right. That's what it feels like. But I think there's some level of the Bears being like, all right, we're trying all these things legitimately. And we want to get these done, and it's difficult when politics are involved. So, as I said, I think this is serious. I don't think it gets done, but I think if it did, it would not change Bear fandom. And for the 8,000 season ticket holders that might not renew, there would be 25,000 season ticket holders who would ready to be buying those tickets tomorrow. So I don't think when you play 8 to 9 home games a year in the regular season, I think it's an absolute non-factor.
So last week, we ended up putting together a 3-team parlay on this show where...
If it involves the NBA, let's stop there and not talk about it.
Really?
Yeah, I can't talk about gambling when it comes to the NBA.
But I mean, you know good value when you see it.
No, I can't talk about that. Can you talk about
if you think we moved a line?
No, I can't talk about that either.
You can't talk about that either?
No, I can't talk about why a line moves. I can't talk about gambling. I'm a very, very small, limited partner in the team, and I signed something that I can't go there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not making the bet.
No, I know, but if I'm giving information, and it's not like I have significant inside information, but we have had an owner's meeting in the last week where I may know information that the general market doesn't know.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair. So let's go ahead and pivot then to tanking in the NBA, because this seems to be a huge thing that Adam Silver wants to tackle this offseason. They had a list of about 10 different things. And I know the Jazz, again, that was egregious.
Well, so I don't know. So there's two people who came out. Mark Cuban, who I tend to agree with on most things, and Matt Ishbia, who I tend to not agree with on most things. And I found myself, you know, not agreeing with either of them, but being closer to Matt Ishbia's opinion that tanking is losing behavior, that as a league, we shouldn't be promoting. And if we're worried about, hey, this guy's trying to get his under on points and there might be trying to influence a gambling market, that legitimately having teams going into games trying to lose, how is that not similar or way, 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 way worse? And so I think there is some truth there. And I didn't totally buy Mark Cuban's answer, which is, hey, our fans loved having Luka Doncic. Our fans loved having Daniel Gafford, who they got both times because of tanking, and there is a benefit. And fans don't really remember. They just want a good experience when they go to a game. And I disagree. Like, I think it's sad when, like, you go to a game and this is a league built on superstars, and superstars who are available to play are not playing. I just don't think it's right. And I think you need to incentivize team behaviors with what's best for your fans, because ultimately this is an entertainment product.
But what if your team's just bad?
If your team's bad, then you're not tanking.
Well, yeah, but you're still going to ultimately be punished by some of these things that the NBA is trying to put forward, right? Like, if you're bad, and a way to turn the reason why the draft exists is because if you're bad, in order to turn it around, okay, now you've got a higher pick.
Okay,
you've got a better option to pick one of these players in the draft. And if you're a team, like, just looking at the NBA teams this year, like, the Jazz, yes, they're tanking. The Kings, they're just bad.
No, I mean, again, the Kings have shut down DeMontis Sabonis and Zach LaVine.
Yep.
They both, I mean, DeMontis Sabonis came back and played games. Zach LaVine, I'm not here to comment on players on other teams and all that, but you can't tell me that if Zach LaVine had been traded at the trade deadline, that he would 100% been shut down.
The Pelicans are bad.
The Pelicans don't have a draft pick,
yeah.
So they're clearly trying to win. Yes, I agree.
But I'm just saying, like, but you could be a team that's legitimately
and,
bad.
In any
and
of
now...
these scenarios that people are working on, you may have the fifth. So if that team who's really, really bad ends up having the fifth best odds to get the first round, the number one pick, well, that's pretty good.
Wait, but
if they're that bad, the year before they probably did also. And if they're running their team that bad, why should we totally reward them?
Just to be clear, Gabe, you're talking about the things that the NBA talked about yesterday that would incentivize teams not to tank.
Correct.
Right? There was a list that was put out.
So one of the premises is that after game 50, let's just say, for the last 32 games of the year, you actually get credit for winning games rather than losing games. And it still would only be the teams that don't make the playoffs, but you actually get credit for winning rather than losing.
Yeah.
So playing hard down the stretch would actually matter.
Which I like. But one of the other solutions is, you just flatten the odds. If you're in the lottery, everybody has the same odds.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea to me because, again, there are teams that are trying to win. Maybe you got hurt and now you get rewarded for a team with a team that's just, again, legitimately bad.
Like last year, how the Dallas Mavericks end up getting, you know, they go straight from the NBA Finals to getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the ideas is to put something in that you can't get a top four pick if you've been in the conference finals within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a bunch of different ideas like that being floated.
But additionally, like, this isn't. I guess the NBA is the only one.
How do you feel just ultimately, right? Like, when you go to a game.
Yes.
And, I mean, as a Bucks fan, and Giannis isn't playing.
Yeah.
Right? It's sad. And Giannis, we know, tries to play every time he can play. But when you're going to a game and you're missing the best players from the other teams, sure, maybe your team's more likely to win. But, I mean, this is a league built on on those stars and not seeing them.
That's more than just a tanking issue too, Craig, right? Like that's something the NBA has tried to tackle forever in terms of player rest and when you can and can't, and teams have certainly been fined for that.
And I think they've done a good job with the MVP stuff and being eligible for awards. Like we saw Nikola Jokic and, you know, maybe even Tyrese Haliburton last year come back a little early to make sure they stayed eligible and missed less games than they would have wanted
to. But why do you think that the NFL doesn't look at it as a problem? Because the team that has the number one overall pick sat their best player, had to go to him and say, hey, Max Crosby, you ain't playing the rest of the year.
Okay.
He got upset.
How many games?
But there's only 17 in the NFL.
Right. How many games?
But so go by percentage.
I mean, yeah.
How many games?
I mean, he missed like the last three games they shut him down for?
I think the Giants
three.
Game, right? So here's him at two games.
Out of 17, to his point, percentages matter.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're doing this at the All-Star break, right when the NFL season's ending, right when a lot of people's attention is turning to the NBA, right? Like this is the highest profile time for the NBA. As much as the NBA Cup is trying to move up interest, this is when people get genuinely like into the league. Mm-hmm. And to get into the league and find out that your player Trae Young was able to play. And when the Mavericks were considering trading Anthony Davis, they were saying he would be relatively healthy soon. But now both of these guys who your team just traded for and you're a season ticket holder are both out for the year. Like it just.
Okay. Here's what I think. And this is don't hate the player, hate the game. Because we all know that tanking is not the disease. Tanking is a symptom of the disease, which is the structure, the incentive, the strategic, all of the ways that teams get rewarded for being bad in the NBA. So what's the answer there? I know Gabe just mentioned they've given out this list of ways to try to incentivize teams to actually play, but how can they change it? And you also obviously don't like the idea of making it a percentage across the board where if you're in the lottery, you have the same percentage to get the first
round. And
this
all came from like when Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon were like around that time, they were coming out and it was the first time that people the last two or three games of the year started trying to lose and they were like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't
for
just
seeding?
Do it.
For
yeah,
because like
it used to be, you know, there's times there was a coin flip for just first and second. And then all of a sudden they realize, okay, this is starting to become more of a thing. So let's not make it where teams are so incentivized to be that bad. Let's have more of a lottery. And it expanded over time to where at first it was even lottery odds. Then they decided that, you know, it should be uneven odds.
So my question to you guys is this then. Should they eliminate the draft? Because that has been thrown out there as well. If the draft order is one of those things that is incentivizing teams to lose, should they figure out another way to build the roster?
I love the eliminating of your record impacting the draft. Now, you would have to prepare a long time for this because people have already traded so many draft picks. So let's say right now draft picks have been traded out until 2032.
Yes.
And so there's like a wheel. I don't know if you guys have heard
of this theory.
I've
seen the draft. It was a Celtics assistant or someone in their front office that came up the wheel. This was like 2013, 14.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. And so the premise is, you know, for the next 30 years, where your draft position is going to be. And let's say maybe they add two teams to the league. So let's say
every 6 years you get a top five pick.
Right.
Every, you know, like, so you know you're getting quality picks every so often.
And you'll know, hey, in 22 years from now, we have the number one pick. 11 years from now, we have the number two pick. Next year, we have the number three pick. We have the number 17 pick. So every team gets their roster sprinkled in with a fair amount of picks over that period of time. And, you know, you then build all the incentives around trying to win every year and trying to have your fan base excited about your team. I love that idea. You need a long ramp up here to get
there. Yes. I was a proponent of the draft wheel. I loved the idea when I first heard it back in, again, I think it was 2013 or 14. It was a long time ago when that idea came out. And it's the one that makes me the most go, yes, I could get into this as a fan. I feel like I can support it because, again, it de-incentivizes losing.
I mean, think about, like, if you know you have the first pick, like, you're checking out who are those best sixth graders right now. Like, I know we're 7 years away, but, like, little Timmy on the basketball court, like, he's got a left hand already, and, like, I'm thinking he could be our savior. Like, I just, the NBA is a premium entertainment product.
Yeah.
It is a very incredible product compared to any night out, in my opinion, that you could have in Milwaukee. And it is priced accordingly. And so for me, I want anyone who is investing their hard-earned dollars to feel like they're getting the best product that both teams could put out. And when, as a league, we're not doing that because a team in their best interest, Jen, like, it's hard to hate the team for trying to do what's in their fan base's
correct
best interest long term.
Well, again, we had that conversation here on the program. Can you ask Giannis to suspend immediate gratification, which is playing, for future gratification, which would be the worse the team does, the better potentially their lottery pick is, but that's not in his nature.
Yeah.
Right? But we had that conversation.
And he's from that Matt Ishbia, like, he's not a loser. He doesn't want to lose. He wants to win. And right now, I'm thinking about the same thing. Like, the Detroit Pistons beat the Knicks last night, and they're clearly, it seems, the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Hey, you know, the Bucks last year played the team that won the East, and I know we lost in five, but we should have won that game five at Indiana without Dame. Mm-hmm. We would have come back and won game six. Who knows where you put Giannis in a game seven? Like, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens in the next 29 games and to see if Giannis can drag this group of teams of players who all of a sudden seem rejuvenated and all that into a 9 seed, into a 10 seed. Can they then go on the road or win at home as the 9 seed against the 10 and then go on the road to beat the 8 and be the 8 seed? And hey, I can guarantee you the Pistons will be rooting against the Bucks if the Bucks are in that play.
They don't
tournament
want to see Giannis.
Yeah.
Well, for reasons we cannot discuss with you in the room, we are also very excited and hopeful for that, right, Gabe?
Oh, absolutely. We're invested.
He's Craig Karmazin hanging out with Jen Gabachui each and every Friday. Great to have you in studio, Craig. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
A ton of Bucks games coming up. Home games of plenty. I think it's like
9 of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only road game is at Chicago.
Yeah, but when do you think Giannis will be back? And again, not saying that the other guys out there aren't entertaining, but again, a lot of people are circling their calendar for when Giannis is back on the court.
You know, first at the Pelicans tonight, right?
Yes, Pelicans tonight, and then it's 9 of 10 here in Milwaukee.
So overall, 9 of 11 games at home. So Sunday, Raptors starts at opportunity to see the Bucks on Sunday. I don't know, and I think the thing about Giannis is you never know. I think if he came back this Sunday, it would be way ahead of schedule, and especially when you've had multiple injuries.
And I think he knows to take his time because he admitted that he came back too soon from the last
one. He wanted that Pistons game the last time so bad, and it hurt him, right? Mm-hmm. He legitimately got hurt when he came back, you know, that time, and then he ends up getting hurt and playing hurt through the Denver game also. So, yeah, he has been an incredible force. And but you could see around All-Star Weekend just his energy and how he's energized right now. I think the way the team played, the Bucks have won 5 out of 6 games right now.
The best basketball they've played all year.
Yeah, so it's an exciting time going into the second half of the season.
Couldn't agree more. He's Craig Karmazin. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll be right back after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Craig Karmazin leaving the studio here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and we are leaving you for the week. Wildean Tausch is next. Did we put anything on the Infinity Exteriors poll today?
Was it the Packers offensive line thing?
How concerned are you?
How concerned are you?
Do you know how it turned out, Will? Or
I think I forgot to click send on that one, to be completely honest with you.
I mean,
hand up.
Had I seen it on the Twitter account, I would have read it myself. But since I didn't, that was a pretty clear
indication.
I will
put it out. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, I'm stressed. I'm freaking out.
Will D. Dausch is next. Good grief.